Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, and this is June 4th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we will be still in there, wherein there is a solution on page 23, the second paragraph, beginning with, "Once in a while he may tell the truth." And we're reading through that one paragraph ending with, "They are down for the count." And the comments will be on that paragraph only. And today's readers are Tanya P. for the 12 Steps, Joan Marie M. for the 12 Traditions. The readers of the text are Alex K. and Lynneth W. The share ID for Monday, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, June 3rd, 10 a.m., is 21,454. That's 21454. And for Tuesday, this morning, June 4th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21457, or 21,457. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our announcements person is Betsy H., and thank you all for your service this month starting. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Tanya P., and I will now ask Joan Marie M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA members is a desire to stop drinking. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one purpose, primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6. An AA group might never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, prosperity, and property and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Each AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. Such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relationships policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of radio and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie, for reading the traditions of OA. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter There Is a Solution on page 23, the second paragraph down. It begins with, once in a while, he may tell the truth, and it ends with, but they often suspect they are down for the count. And we'll be just commenting on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Alex Kay to begin and get us started. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Alex Kay in California, compulsive eater. Been given a reprieve for today. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And the truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea why he took that first drink than you have. Some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time, but in their hearts they really do not know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game, but they often suspect they are down for the count. Why did I take that first bite? Sometimes I felt I needed it to numb my painful feelings. I would plan binges to escape feeling uncomfortable with life. And then other times I believed the lies of the disease. It said just one bite can't hurt. I'll control it this time. And I honestly thought I could and would just have a little, despite much past experience to the contrary. It was as if I developed temporary amnesia, that strange mental blank spot. I forgot all the misery, compulsive eating had caused me before. And I'd try again and again to eat moderately and fail. Yet, no matter how much depression and demoralization followed, there'd soon come a time when I would try once more, deluding myself that this time would be different. But it never was. It always led to the same vicious cycle of insanity. At other times when everything was going well, I'd suddenly find myself compulsively eating, even though I'd had no thought of doing it. And I couldn't understand why I'd done it. I could see no reason for it. And the part about beating the game made me think about how I thought someday I'd be able to eat like a normal eater. In the back of my mind, there was this idea that, yes, I'm powerless now, but someday I won't be powerless anymore. I'll be able to eat whatever I want, whenever I want, with no ill consequences. And that was another delusion of the disease. I thought I'd magically wake up one day and no longer be a compulsive eater. I'm so grateful for surrender, because today I accept my complete powerlessness. I know I'm a compulsive eater, and I always will be, and I'm okay with that. The good news is that even though I'm a compulsive eater, I don't have to compulsively eat. There's a solution, a way out in this program and with my higher power. That's the treatment for this disease that I need daily. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much, Alex Kay, for getting us started. And Alex is in California, if you want to look her up. Okay, let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 23, and there is a solution, the second paragraph down. Once in a while, he may tell the truth, and it ends with, but they often suspect they are down for the count. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Now, who would like to share on this paragraph?
Joan Marie.
Wendy B.
From the
Roz G.
I got Joan
Wendy
Marie.
B.
I got Wendy B. And I heard Roz. Joan Marie, Wendy B.
Maria
Wendy
C.
M. Oh, Wendy B.
Gloria H.
And then Roz. And then who was after Roz? Somebody just came in there before Gloria.
Gloria. Gloria H.
Maria. Maria C. in California.
Maria C. and then Gloria. And then Gloria. Okay, I have Joan Marie M., Wendy B., Roz, I think it's G., Maria C., and Gloria. Anyone else?
Nancy L. J., California.
Nancy L. J. Okay, I think we'll stop there. That's a good lineup. Joan Marie M., Wendy B., Roz G., Maria C., Gloria, Nancy L. J. And when you announce yourself, please tell us what state you are calling from. Everybody mute except Joan Marie M. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. May I be heard?
You are heard. You're being heard loud and clear.
Thank you. Okay, this is powerful, like we say about all the paragraphs. But back then, I never told the truth. I really didn't know the truth. I didn't know the difference between the truth and the lies that I told everyone else. If my husband ever touched my body and he would ask me, did I eat these food, I would say no. But my body lied, didn't lie. It told the truth. I was red hot. Thank you, God, that I know now. Because back then I didn't have any idea why I took that first bite. I really didn't know until I came to Vision. I thought another diet would fix it. I had all the excuses in the world, the right husband, whatever. I felt that there was something dreadfully wrong with me. Why can't I stop eating? I want to, and then I wouldn't want to. What I really wanted was my cake and eat it too. I wanted to be able to eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and I never got satisfied back then. Nothing ever satisfied me. how different it is now. Once the malady took hold of me, that disease, that illness, that disorder of the body and mind, that took hold of me, and it was a real hold on me. I couldn't stop. I was doing the same thing over and over and over, time and time again. But once I would lose the weight by a diet, then I thought I had recovery. No, I didn't. I was restricting. I was dieting. I was fasting, doing all the things that never could help me. And then I wanted back to the food again that was killing me. I was really down for the count. Then I came to vision. God gave me a special person to guide me through the steps. I did the assignments gladly, for I was desperate for relief. And it came. God did for me what I could never do for myself. I didn't have that power. Step 1, 2, and 3. I let him. I put down the alcoholics' foods in his power. And I got the freedom. The compulsion was lifted. The desire for the alcoholic foods was lifted. That's a miracle. That is a divine miracle that God did for me, what I could not do for myself. And I just so thankful, you know, say if I could do it, a chronic relapser, a chronic overeater, you can too. Just stick around for, because it surely will come for you too. Thank you so much, Mo, and everyone else. Bye.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie M., and she is from Nevada. Up next is Wendy B., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Wendy. Press star 1 to unmute, Wendy.
Thank you. I thought I already did. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the line, you know, there is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. And that just resonates with my addictive nature so well. And I looked up the definition of obsession, and it's an idea that outweighs all others. And, you know, and before recovery, you know, this obsessiveness was my driving force, you know, trying to manipulate people, places, and things to avoid reality and, you know, to try to circumvent the natural consequences. And, you know, and the game was God's rule and reign, his control and him calling the shots. And I wanted to rebel against his sovereign authority and not suffer the consequences. I wanted to eat whatever I wanted and not gain weight. I wanted to misuse my body and have it still function optimally. I wanted to be dependent on others to support me financially, you know, and live in a make-believe world of gambling and hoping for a jackpot, you know, instead of working and making an honest living. And I wanted a soulmate. I wanted to find the right person to understand me and love me unconditionally and meet all my needs and place no demands on me and do everything my way so I could feel comfortable and safe and secure. And so, you know, coming into program and learning to live in the real world instead of the fantasy was what I had to learn to embrace. You know, I had to learn to live with a real person with flaws and contrary opinions. And I had to learn to be self-supporting and productive with my time. And I learned how to care for my body as God intended, you know, to nourish it properly, you know, and I had to learn to surrender to God being in control, you know, and my self-centeredness had to be replaced with God-centeredness and, you know, placing his interests above my own. And this transformation he's doing in us is truly amazing. It's such a miracle. And just thank you, God, for this program. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Roz G., followed by Maria C. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for hearing me to share. and I'm stepping outside of my house, so you may hear my air conditioner running. So this paragraph, just like with a previous sharer, I remember telling one of my sponsors, I have lied so much that I don't even know what the truth is about what I was, you know, about my food and what I was doing to myself. I just did not have the capacity to be honest. And this paragraph also reminds me of also that other paragraph that we read maybe a week or two ago that said that we get tight at exactly the right time. It's like I want to lose 50 pounds so that when I go to this wedding, I can wear this dress and I'm going to look incredible. And yet I'm still eating packs of macaroni and cheese while sitting on the sofa and watching soap operas and fantasizing about how I'm going to look great in this dress. The lies I told myself, the vagueness, the unawareness, the fantasy, and it took these 12 steps to sober me up and to slap me across the face with a foam-covered 2x4, with God's gentleness to say, wake up, Roz, wake up, tell the truth, no matter who it is, what it is, tell the truth. It's so important to have people in your life in this program that you can be honest with and they don't condemn you or judge you and say, guess what? I did the same thing. So the disease is, it's centered in my mind. I didn't know that. I didn't know that because I was resentful or lonely or fearful that the food was going to fix it. I really didn't. I just took those actions. So today, when I feel resentful, fearful, lonely, or if I've made a harm, I make sure to do a 10-step about it. I make sure to be aware. I write my food down in the morning. For the most part, I weigh and measure my meals. Not every single 100%, but most of the most part. So I see and I am aware of how much I'm putting in my body, of what I'm putting in my body, and I'm telling it to somebody that loves me, that cares, and that doesn't judge me. So I thank you very much for my share, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Roz G. from California. Up next is Maria C., followed by Gloria. Good morning, Maria. Press star 1 to unmute.
There we go. Can you guys hear me now?
Now I can.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Hi, guys. My name is Maria C. I'm in California, and I'm so grateful to everyone doing service this morning and to those of you who already shared and to those of you who shared, I'm sure I'll hear soon. This paragraph is really resonating with me, too. You know, I really feel like I am someone who's part of the baffled lot. And lately, I found myself trying to beat the game in new ways. I am abstinent. I have been abstinent. I am living a recovered life, working 10, 11, and 12. And that means that I am finding new ways every day where I'm still trying to control things, where I'm still learning to take step 3 every single day. You know, I have something new at work that's big and scary, and I can't control it. And it's been hard for me, humbling for me to admit I still want to, you know, that I have, the more I work this program and the more I use this design for living, the more I see I can turn over to God. Because when left to my own devices, I will try to beat this game. You know, I don't normally get down on my knees, and I know a lot of people in program do, but I did yesterday. I did yesterday in the middle of the workday, just went where no one could see me and got down on my knees because I need to learn how to turn more stuff over. But, you know, guys, I've got to say to everyone who's working the steps right now and trying to figure this out, the food is quiet. I am working every single step like my life depends upon it. And the side effect is that the food is quiet. I'm still down 130 pounds. I still don't think about food. These feelings are big for me because I'm not numbing with them. I'm working on my relationship with my higher power right now and want to beat the game. And, you know, I am just so humbled to know I cannot. I'm just so encouraged by everybody who's sharing here every day. And so thank you guys for listening. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Maria C. from California. And next we have Gloria, followed by Nancy L. J. Gloria, give me the first initials of your last name and where you're calling from.
Sure. Gloria H., and I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. And I just wanted to say that, you know, when the book said rigorous honesty, I was like, rigorous honesty, does that mean I have to be honest with my income tax? Does that mean I have to be honest with my children? Does that mean I have to be honest? You know, what does rigorous honesty mean? And so that's a question that, you know, shouldn't even be asked. You know, just be honest in all my affairs with everyone, you know. And I just think when I read this, it talks about, I think about the deception of others is often rooted in deception of myself. You know, everyone sees when I'm eating, you know, according to my plan, you know, abstinently. And then they say, oh, I wish I could eat like you. I wish you could. I said to myself, do they know if I'm at this size, I definitely am not eating all the things I'm supposed to be eating all the time. You know, so, I mean, that reminded me of when I came into this program in the 70s, late 70s, and they would say to me, you're tall, you can carry that weight. You know, if I want to believe what other people tell me, and then I want to say the same things they told me to other people. So that's the deception of others. And I'm delusional because my delusional self tells me, oh, my friend, she went to the doctor and they gave her this and she lost. So that's just the physical, Gloria. It's just the physical. There's more to this than just the physical. It's the emotional and the spiritual. And the spiritual, that three-legged stool, you know, you kick one down and the stool will fall. So I have to remember that. You know, I can't be in that delusional mentality that all I need is that one shot and that's all it's going to be for me. It's more than that. And God is, you know, God can do for me what I can't do for myself. And he's working in my life all the time. So that's what I wanted to say was I need to remember that. And, you know, down for the count with me is rock bottom. Because I'm not at rock bottom or because I want to get to rock bottom or because I want to be down for the count, can't I just start where I'm at? Maybe this is where I'm at. My down for the count is where I'm at today, just for today. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Gloria H. from North Carolina. And before I take Nancy L.J., I want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in the big book in their chapter, There is a Solution, page 23, the second paragraph down. Once in a while, he may tell the truth, and it ends with, but they often suspect they are down for the count. And after Nancy L.J., I will take another lineup. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm going to need to pass after all. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, Nancy, for letting me know. All right. So we'll take that next lineup right now. Who would like to share?
Laura W. from Illinois.
Okay.
Rachel M. from Liverpool, UK.
Rachel M., I think you said, from the UK. Thank you. I have Laura W. from Illinois and Rachel M. Who else would like to share on that paragraph? Packed paragraph. Shy. Press star one to unmute.
Brenda B.
Elizabeth
A. from Michigan.
Who was after Brenda?
Elizabeth A. from Michigan.
Elizabeth. Okay. Got you, Elizabeth.
Lorena H. from California.
Lorena H. California. Okay, I have Laura W., Rachel M., Brenda B., Elizabeth A., and Lorena H. We'll stop there. And everybody mute except Laura W. from Illinois. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. from Illinois. I'm out for a walk, so I'm going to stop walking. Hopefully, my connection will be good. So there's two parts of this paragraph that really speak to me today. The first is about playing the game, and the second is about being down for the count. As far as playing the game, it makes me realize that's what I used to do. It was all a game. I wanted to get the best diet, the best exercise program. I wanted to be better than everyone else that did it. I wanted to win. It was pretty much me versus the scale. I wanted to be in control. I didn't believe that there was a higher power that could help me. Even though I wanted to so badly, it's still something I struggle with, is giving up the control, the idea that I cannot control my weight, my body. I need to work on what I can control, which is abstinent food plans, abstinent food, and an abstinent action plan where I'm working my program. And once I, that is my abstinence. The second part is down for the count. Again, now it's a sporting match. It's a boxing match. It's me versus the damn compulsive trigger foods that rule my life and the trigger behaviors that I fight. And again, the only solution is surrender. I have to find a relationship with the spirit of the universe that can help me. And I work on it constantly. And I find that as I do that, I am just so recovered and living a life so much better than I ever expected, that I ever did with any of my diets, even the ones I mastered, quote unquote. And I am so grateful to this program for helping me find that. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura W. from Illinois. Up next is Rachel M. from the UK, followed by Brenda B. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, my name's Rachel M. from Liverpool, UK. And yeah, I strongly resonate with this paragraph. Yeah, I have been there many, many times. And it used to really anger me when I was in disease, in the food and relapse, for the umpteenth time. It would really anger me when people would ask me, why'd you do it? Why'd you pick up this time? What was it? You know, and people in OA as well would ask me that, and it would really anger me because I couldn't tell you. You know, I didn't know, and I was truly baffled. And yeah, you know, it drove me to the point of insanity, because my mind, you know, would trick me. I would want to put the food down and get abstinent tomorrow, like always tomorrow. And in that moment, I would be convinced I was genuine. I would mean it. And then the following day, my mind would trick me again into like picking up the food. And that's the way it was constantly. And it drove me mad. And, you know, my obsession that someday I would beat the game. Yeah. I never tried to kid myself that I would only be able to have one or two of something. I knew that just wouldn't happen when it came to my alcoholic foods. But instead, my mind would tell me, well, do you know what? You can binge today, get abstinent again tomorrow. Or like binge for a few days and get abstinent again next week. And I never could, because I'm a compulsive overeater and I cannot reasonably predict when I'm going to stop. You know, once I ingest my alcoholic foods, I don't know when I'm going to stop. I can't say, oh, I'll stop tomorrow. And no, that just isn't my experience. And I have the amnesia as well. You know, as has already been shared, I have the amnesia. It doesn't matter how dark it gets, I forget. So I'm truly powerless. You know, I'm screwed without the steps and without the protection and the defense that comes from a higher power. So I have to really work on connecting with my higher power and grow in my relationship with God. And I've just recently been through the steps. I'm now available to sponsor. I had to go through them quickly. And yeah, my work today is being helpful and useful to others and working the steps so that I can keep this connection to a higher power. And I have to continuously be inviting higher power in, because making all the calls, going to meetings, they're helpful. But if I'm doing that from a place of ego and self-will, it's not enough. Yeah, God has to be a part of it. I'll leave that there. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Rachel M. from the UK. Up next is Brenda B., followed by Elizabeth A. Good morning, Brenda. Tell us where you're calling from. Press star one to unmute.
Hey there, sorry about that.
There you are. Okay.
I've been a long-time listener, first-time share. I'm from Washington State, and I think in the member list, I'm listed with my initials B as in bike, K as a kite B, so BKB. Anyhow, I didn't really ever plan on sharing because I am really been a good listener to the program, but last night yesterday my sponsor called me and had to resign as my sponsor due to her own abstinence, and I was just entering how it works, and it took me a long time to get a sponsor. It's been a hard time like figuring out the spiritual piece of the journey, and so my sponsor, I realized, is basically a fill-in for a higher power right now. So I just yesterday started just feeling that, like, okay, my higher power abandoned me, and just as I thought, I there isn't anything or anyone to really rely on in the hardest times. So I kind of sat in a corner of Costco and just had sort of a meltdown, just kind of for about an hour. I just sat there not knowing what to do. And the last two times I've had that kind of crisis, I just fell face first in the sugar. And yesterday, I guess, as an improvement, I, you know, fell face first into my yellow foods. And so I, you know, I didn't eat sugar, but I'm just feeling pretty lost. And my inclination, what I tell myself, is I can do it by myself and that I'm not going to reach out. And that's the big lie that I live in, is that I'm not going to reach out and I won't be reached out to, even though I'm pretty gregarious in life. So it's just a weird experience, and I don't know what to do. And I guess I'm trying to change my pattern this morning by saying, hey, I don't know what to do, and I do need help. And I, this is a group that I have relied on and listened to for a while. So I'm just reaching out, and I'm appreciative of all the stories and the strength and the power that people have experienced in their lives that I've been witness to. And I'm just looking forward to staying on this journey and seeking the hope that the program promises. I don't have much else. I appreciate you listening. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much, Brenda B. from Washington. Pressing star one. Up next is Elizabeth A., followed by Lorena H. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan,
and it's still always difficult or frequently difficult for me to share. But here we go. The thing that I have thought in the last couple of days is that I have such an incredibly loving God that I can ask why, as a child asks why. And I have asked why until my brain hurts sometimes. And that's the truth. I just call it my pea brain because I want to know why. And sometimes it matters and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes my loving higher power gives me the why. And sometimes he doesn't. And I've begun to accept that I won't always know the whys. And so this journey is about just continually learning and confronting old ideas and bumping against things that aren't working. There were days in this food addiction, oh my gosh, the hell of it, because I was bulimic, exercise bulimic, purge bulimic, did cocaine, fasted one time for 4 days straight. Just whatever it took to control my weight, because I knew people would like me better if I was thin, which was absolute insanity. I heard a speaker years ago say, if you want to know why you're eating, stop. And, you know, that saying that I'll feel better. Yeah, I feel anger better. I feel sadness better. I feel guilt better. I feel happiness. Like when I'm not in the food, when, and thank God I'm not. And anyway, I give God the glory, and I'm grateful that I just keep coming back. I'm still learning, and just day by day learning how God to take my strong-willed nature, my desire for control away. And that sometimes the why doesn't really matter. But I just have to keep rowing my boat and stay on the journey. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lizbeth A. from Michigan. I think that's Michigan. Okay, up next is Lorena H. from California. Good morning, Lorena.
Good morning, everybody. I'm sharing, and I just want to tell Vision for You that I appreciate this meeting. It has helped me very much. I've been in OA since July 4th of last year, so this July will be 1 year. And although I'm not where I want to be, I'm definitely not where I was. Before coming to OA, I had nighttime binging problem for 12 years straight, where every night I would, after I would put my daughter to sleep, I would start eating. And I didn't, there was no reason why. It was just an every night thing. And then I'd fall asleep eventually, get up the next day, and I was a workaholic, so I'd work all day, restrict all day, because I was food drunk anyways, and I felt horrible. And then come back home, by that time, I was feeling, normal again, I guess, to just start up again. It got me to the point, I already struggled with my mental health, but it got to the point where I didn't want to continue living anymore. And I thought it was because of my other problems, my anxiety and depression and all. So I was one of the people that tried ending their lives. And I was saved. My higher power saved me. I'm no longer a workaholic because I no longer work, but I still struggled with my problem, which was my eating. And once I realized in this year that a lot of my mental health issues were related because I was in the food, and the food, my alcoholic foods were causing me experiencing things in my body that I thought was anxiety, but in many cases, I believe they were cravings. And now I'm learning still, but I no longer do all the binging at night. I have a life now. I live, and I'm closer to my higher power than ever. And I serve, and I'm not where I want to be, but I'm definitely not where I was. And so I am very grateful. And I just want to thank everybody that have ever shared, ever served, because I have been listening, and it has been truly helping me. And thank you so much, and have a great day.
Well, thank you very much, Lorena H. from California, yeah, for sharing. We have time for about a two-minute share if anybody would like to take that.
Hey, it's Laura W. in South Jersey.
I got Ann M. was the first person I heard, so that's all I can take. Thank you very much. Ann, you're up.
Oh, good. Ann M., Washington State. Just wondered about this. How this addresses, this particular paragraph addresses my thinking, which now it's not about the food. It's about the thinking about other things. And I work the steps on this, on the obsession with resentment and sadness and resentments towards people, places, and things. And then, you know, I don't know why, truth to say. It's usually that I have no idea why I'm doing this. I'm just angry, so I'm blaming. And that brings me to the need for, and I know this, to do a step 10 quickly. And if that doesn't solve my obsession, then I need to do 1, 2, and 3, and 4 and start over. But about the thinking, and usually it's about some relationship. And relationship issue, this obsession, you know, that I can, okay, I'll figure this out. No, I can just, it's their fault, not mine, and, you know, but then I obsess on their faults, which is how my disease took over after the food is not the issue anymore, because the food covered up that a lot of times. I'd just be angry at myself for eating and not eating and, you know, gaining weight or gaining 3 pounds or whatever. And so it was really helpful. And we read this, and I have made this note in August 22nd, 2 years ago, this very same paragraph. And I have, you know, I have to do, it has to do with the mind and not only the food. How I think is the problem. So thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks very much for taking us out, Ann M. All right. Thank you all for your shares, and thank you all for all who gave service. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Lyneth W. to read a vision for you. Good morning, Lyneth. Press star 1 to unmute.
Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.